from the city of brotherly love, this is Shark Bite Biz with David Strausser.
You just arrived at a newest episode of Shark Bite Biz. I'm your rockstar wannabe host, David Strausser. This is your place to learn how to grow a business during complete global chaos. As always, this episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor and SAP and Acumatica Gold partner, Stellar One Consulting. If your business is ready to move off QuickBooks, give us a ring. We'll help automate your business process and break through any barriers preventing growth. That's StellarOneConsulting.com or StellarOne.io. Now, let's get back to today's episode. We're going to be chatting about developing your people and yourself. So, who do we have today? Vanessa Jodelman. Vanessa Jodelman is the president of Mosaic People Development, and for over 20 years, Vanessa has been helping clients to develop leaders who inspire great results. She's a speaker, facilitator, leadership consultant, and certified executive coach. Having worked in the trenches herself as a leader, she teaches her clients a very practical approach to leadership that she has used to develop her own high-performing teams. Over the years, she has trained and coached thousands of people to transition from doers to leaders. She works with leaders to give them the tools and strategies they need to feel confident, be more self-aware, be team-focused, and be strategic. She's authored a book, Mastering Leadership, What It Takes to Lead in Today's Fast-Paced World, about leadership and how she has led her own teams. And Vanessa has had the privilege of developing leaders in organizations like Campbell Soup, the United Nations, HelloFresh, Sick Kids, and the Bank of Montreal. So hey, without further ado, let's bring Vanessa right on in here.
Business strategy.
Vanessa, welcome to Shark Bite Biz. You, my friend, you just became shark bait.
Excellent. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here.
No, it's such an honor and privilege to have a guest like you come on the show. I'm very excited to have you here and to record. But we do have a tradition on this show. Every single episode, we started off the same exact way. What's your background? What's your experience? What do you do for a living? How'd you get there? Basically, in a nutshell, tell us what makes Vanessa Vanessa.
All right. Well, I am a leadership consultant and coach. I've been doing it for over 20 years. It is my passion. The reason it is my passion is because leaders set the tone in organizations, and leaders can really make or break people's experience at work. So I know that we can all think about experiences where we've been in the corporate world, where we've worked for someone else, and it was a disaster. We had a boss that wasn't aligned with us in terms of our values, or didn't give us enough clarity, or wasn't a good communicator. Or in my case, I had a boss who was just actually a really nasty person that made my life very miserable. So I'm sure a lot of us can relate to that.
Oh, we were just talking. I just went through not a nasty person, but I just went through a similar experience myself, and the communication, stuff like that, definitely wasn't there. And it kills me because, you know, I'd understand, like, Latino based, you know, so a lot of Spanish, but I'm fluent in Spanish. So there's no excuse, you know, over the lack of communication.
Yeah, 100%. And so many people have had that experience at work. And so as a leadership consultant, a coach, it's my job to work with leaders to help them to be the best version of themselves, to help give them the tools they need to not only build their businesses or their teams, but also to lead people. To lead people, do it effectively.
Now, one thing that you had mentioned is that, you know, you're a coach, okay? You help people develop, you help teams develop, you help executives develop. So with that in mind, my question to you is, do you think that the market is flooded right now? It seems like there's a coach for everything and anything everywhere at this point. I mean, how do you think that market space is as far as what you do?
Well, I've been certified as a coach for probably about 12 years. So it's something that I've done for a long time. I take my certification very seriously. It was a year-long process. I had to write an oral and a written exam. So, I mean, I really recommend, I think you're right. Coaching has exploded in the last couple of years. And I just advise people to do your due diligence when you work with a coach. Make sure the person is certified. Ask about their experience.
There's a lot of coaches out there that might be certified that have no real life experience too. And they're just teaching you what the textbook says.
Yeah. And you're right. And I always say, you know, if I'm going to coach someone, I have to have lived and breathed the journey myself. I've been a leader. I've led teams that were high performing. I've led teams that were really challenging. I've had people who reported to me who loved my leadership style. And to be really honest, I've had people reporting to me who didn't like my leadership style. And it was from those people that I learned the most about how to be an effective leader. And it's those experiences where I failed as a leader that I share most with my clients now.
Yep. Understood. Understood. So, you know, right now, there's kind of a game changer with a new kind of leader that's needed for this new world of work. I mean, we have a lot of weird things happening. You still got remote work happening everywhere, it seems like. At the same time, you have a lot of people saying no more remote work or hybrid remote work. And it's kind of weird environment to where, you know, it was almost like you were expected to go to an office before. Like if you expected to work from home, you were crazy. Which I've been working from home for 15 years with every job I've ever had. But besides the point, you know, with that, you know, it's like you were expected to go and show up at a job. Now, you don't know what you're walking into, especially because once you interview, you know, it's like, yeah, they might say it's remote. But then when you get the job, it's like, oh, no, you've got to be on site. And, you know, they're kind of flipping things around on people. And I've read a lot of stories, people about that aren't happy with that. So I guess what my question is, you know, all those things combined, you know, what is this new world of work that we're dealing with right now?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've heard of so many people as well who've been told they can work virtually and then have been said, no, have been told, oh no, actually you need to be in office now. And an office could be a 2-hour drive. So yeah, that old world of work was much more in office, much more face-to-face, much more collaborative. The new world of work is very autonomous. It's very hybrid. It's constant change. And I also find in the new world of work, people are tired because I call it change fatigue, right? Think of the last 3 years, people have gone through a pandemic and they've gone through the change of hybrid work and they've gone through technological changes in AI and, you know, massive global issues and massive global discontent. And so I call it change fatigue, where it's change upon change upon change and people are tired. So that's also part of the world of work, is just dealing with fatigue.
Right. How best do you deal with that fatigue? If you have that fatigue that's hitting you or your team, I mean, if you're a leader, how can you attack that the best?
Well, one of the things I always share with leaders is the concept of motivation. And I always ask people, do you think that you can motivate people at work? And most people say yes, but the answer is you can't. You cannot motivate another adult. But what you can do as a leader is create an environment that's motivating for them. So those are the conversations that you have to have with your team, because the reality also is, what makes it more complex is everybody's motivated by different things. So someone may be motivated by in-person collaborative time. Someone else finds that irritating. They're motivated by autonomous work. And it depends on their work style. If someone's higher on the extroversion scale, you know, when we think about introversion and extroversion, extroverts, it's not how friendly you are, it's where you get your energy from. If someone's higher on the extroversion scale, they get their energy from being with other people. What's going to be motivating for them is connection time in the office. If someone is an introvert, and what that means is they get their energy from themselves, they need more time to think and noodle and conceptualize by themselves. So, you know, you really have to have conversations with your team about what does that environment look like that's motivating for you. That being said, I do think creating a high trust workplace environment is something that all leaders need to do, because if you don't have trust in your team, it's not, your culture and your environment is not going to be motivating for anybody.
No, completely understood. And I think that's a lot of great points there that you have made. So talking, I guess this kind of flows together, but one of the things I was just reading up on was about how you have 5 practical tools that leaders can implement to successfully navigate the challenges of the workplace today. What are those tools? And maybe just give us like the headline and the first paragraph of what each one of those tools are so that people can kind of really grasp and understand what they are.
Okay, for sure. I'm actually gonna condense it to three.
Okay, you can do three. I'll take 3 out of 5. 3 out of 5 ain't bad.
Yeah, I've really been reading a lot about the power of threes, and people really remember things in threes. I want to talk about, before the tools, I want to take a step back and look at the problems. The three problems that I see with leaders is, number one, lack of self-awareness. Number two, lack of education. And number three, minimal strategic insight. And what I mean by that is lack of self-awareness. Leaders do not understand, typically, unless they've done the work, and many leaders have done the work, they don't understand their strengths, they don't understand their weaknesses, they don't understand how their behavior impacts the people around them, and they don't understand what emotional intelligence is and how their emotions impact them and the people around them. So that's number one. Number two, lack of education.
Emotional intelligence, I just want to add, I think emotional intelligence from leadership is critical, because if you're making decisions that impact the lives of employees and you're doing that from inside of a box, just thinking about dollars or cents, or we think they'll like that, or we think they'll like this, that's not cool. I mean, that's part of the reason why I had left one of the employers I had left a long time ago was, you know, I just felt that they really lacked that emotional intelligence and the empathy towards the employees. And it's just not a good, healthy environment, I think, if they don't have that. It can become toxic quite easily, I feel.
You're so right, David, because one of the ways that leaders build trust is transparency, collaboration, loyalty, you know, all of those, but respect, all of those behaviors build trust. And so if you're just making assumptions about what you think people need, you're not building trust at all. In fact, you're doing quite the opposite.
Right. I mean, there's many things I'm not going to name the company, not throwing anybody under the bus today, but there were many times, for example, they would do things where I actually had a fully remote team because of the way that my team was set up. We didn't have a regional office and our team was 110% remote. It was from day one. It was until I left. It still is today. And this is way before COVID. So they would, we're going to expand our benefits program. But what they ended up doing was taking away from benefits that our remote employees already had in my region because, you know, like they were getting home internet reimbursement, cell phone reimbursement, things like that, because they're not at an office. So the company was giving them a couple bucks. What those amounts got reduced so that everybody else could get it. And it's one of those things to where, you know, we lost some people over it.
100%. There's actually a really nice tool, going back to tools, that I ask leaders to do when they're launching a change initiative. It's called OPV, which stands for Other People's Views. So what you do on the left-hand side of the page, you write all the people's views that you need to consult with, right? So who are the key stakeholders that are going to be impacted by this change? Then on the left-hand side of the page, you write out, what do you think their perspective would be? Even taking 5 minutes to do that might change your whole perspective around this change, because it's not just about you, but you really see what the impact is on your stakeholders.
I think, though, the problem is that they have no idea. And I think that they're going to do their perceived value or their perceived. And it, because I think a lot of leaders sometimes, especially if they're high on their own stuff, they're going to give that perceived value to where it's not the real value of what the employee could potentially get or not get with the change that's being made.
And so step two of the tool is now go ask them. So step one is, what do you think their perspective is? Now go interview key stakeholders and check in with them and see if the alignment is there.
And when you say key stakeholders, you're talking about like maybe not the employees out there in the field, because you don't want them to worry, gossip, stuff like that. But maybe talk to their managers that know them better, that can give direct feedback like, oh, yeah, I think my team would absolutely love something like this because I know them and it's needed. Like, would that be good? as far as interviewing them?
It depends on what the change is. So let's say the change was we'd like to implement a new technology across the business. So who does the technology impact? Well, the finance department needs to have a say. The legal department needs to have a say. HR needs to have a say. The users need to have a say. The people who are doing the training on the new software need to have a say.
So you don't know this, but I sell software. And usually not many companies do that. They bring in their key stakeholders. Like, I'll be working with a CFO or maybe a COO, sometimes a CEO or a president. Depends on the company. Maybe it's owner and some managers. But it's usually not unanimous. But they do sometimes bring in like, hey, look, this is the warehouse management system. This is how deliveries are made. Tell us, the warehouse manager, give us their pain points. Like, will this fix your needs? And they'll be like, yes or no, or we don't like it, or yes, we do like it. But that's it. And it doesn't happen every time. I would say it's probably 50, 60% of the time that you get stakeholders as far as the decision makers in that whole process. But as far as the people whose lives it affect day to day, a lot of times they aren't involved in that decision-making process at all.
You're 100% right. And that is precisely why 70% of change initiatives fail.
Wow. Did not know 70% fail. That is incredible. So I'm sorry, I've interrupted you a lot with a lot of different questions, stories, feedbacks, but let's continue with your three.
Okay. So we had lack of self-awareness. So we talked about that. The second one is the lack of education. So most leaders get promoted into leadership roles without any training. And quite frankly, being a leader is a different job than whatever you did as an individual contributor, whether you're an engineer, a salesperson, an architect, a marketing expert. Doing that job that you were educated in is completely different than when you get promoted to leadership.
I agree. I can give a quick story here if you don't mind. I love giving stories about my personal life and experiences. I think it helps people relate. So I was a sales manager earlier in my life. I knew how to run sales teams, stuff like that, no problem. But then for many years, I was just an individual contributor. And I kind of forgot some things, you know, about being a manager, because I mean, you're talking a prolonged period of time at that point. And then when I did become then a manager executive again, and I did have a sales team and, even implementation team below me, but mostly with the sales team, because I have the sales background, one thing I forgot is that you cannot expect everybody to be you. Not like everybody can't run a deal like David does. It might not be in their DNA. I got a weird, quirky personality to where I'll say the thing that everybody's thinking in the room out loud, and I can pull it off, and they'll be laughing, and they'll love me, and they'll remember me for it. Whereas my sales reps might not be able to do that because it's not in their DNA. So what I kind of learned throughout the years was, okay, this is what I would do. This is how I would handle the situation. Now they have to kind of think about it, and they know the client. They know the deal cycle, and they kind of evaluate, okay, well, this is what David would do. This is kind of what I was thinking of doing. And then they find either some blend or some way to do what I asked them to execute, but in their style, because I can't make everybody be me. That was one of the hardest things, I think, for me to relearn once I became an executive after being an individual contributor for so long. Does that make a lot of sense to you?
100%, because everybody's wired differently, right? Some people are very fast-paced and action-oriented. Some people are very logical and analytical in the way they're wired and the way they think. Some people are very steady and require time to process, and so they move at a slower pace. Some people are very strategic and innovative and think outside of the box and love to push the envelope and love change. So, right? So the thing is, here's what's really important about this conversation for people to remember. No style is good or bad, right or wrong. It's just different. So what a lot of leaders do is they judge or criticize people whose style is not similar to their own. And then they tend to hire people who are like them because you're wired in the same way. The impact of that is you're not going to have what I call a whole brain team. You're not going to have a balance.
Going back to that echo chamber I just talked about.
Yes, exactly. If you're a very fast-paced person who makes decisions very quickly and loves risk, You need that person on your team who's going to say, wait a minute, slow down. Have you done a pros and cons list? Have you thought about the impact of this decision on our key stakeholders? Have you gone out to talk to three or four key stakeholders to make sure it's aligned with their business?
That's good. I mean, I think that is that's solid advice. And just hitting the pause sometime, you know, button. I'm fast paced. Again, sales background. I like things moving fast as I can possibly make them move. I mean, like, for example, I got a referral lead yesterday, and when there are warm referral leads, they usually move pretty quick. So I already have the demo, not a discovery call scheduled, but also a demo too. Usually you don't schedule the demo until after you do the discovery call, but I already know it's a fit. I got the download and everything. And it's one of those things that I kind of put the cart before the horse a little bit, just because I'm pretty fairly confident that we're going to get to the demo stage in this. And I want to be able to move quick, move fast. And, you know, Stellar One, the company I work for now, who is also a key sponsor of Shark Bite Biz as of this episode. So, you know, with them there, you know, I kind of put the cart before the horse so I can try to make the bigger impact as fast as I can.
And what I love about that story is that you're leveraging your wiring for your job, because a key part of sales is being responsive. And so your Uber responsiveness is going to be super impressive for a client. Whereas someone who is more analytical, slower paced, needs to understand that about. That goes back to my first issue: leaders have a lack of self-awareness. If you have a self-awareness and know that you tend to be more analytical, what you need to do is dial up your pace, dial up your responsiveness.
Right. Totally understood. So we got time probably for one or two questions, but let's just go into, let's see. I'm looking through all your, you got so much stuff to talk about. I wish we had more time. But we're talking about leadership. So this would probably make a lot of sense right now to ask, which is, why can leadership be so challenging, especially these days?
Because leadership is highly complex. And in the environment that we work in, gets more and more complex by the minute. So because most leaders are not self-aware and don't have education, when they get promoted, they feel very overwhelmed in their leadership positions, right? And so what I do when I work with leaders is I take the complexity of leadership and I break it down into three pillars. I call them the three pillars of leadership success. So let's take that self-awareness piece, lack of self-awareness. The first pillar is know yourself. Understand your strengths, understand your weaknesses, understand your emotional intelligence, your emotions and how they impact people, understand how to build trust. The second pillar is manage your team. So that's a huge part of your job as a leader. You have to know how to coach people, how to delegate, how to build a high performing team, how to give feedback. And then the third part is lead your business. You have to know how to be strategic. You have to know how to, what your key priorities are, and know how to manage your time. So you're aligned with those three priority, those key priorities. You have to be able to execute strategically. I mean, even that, a lot of leaders don't even know there's three parts of strategy, right? I break down strategy for leaders into three parts.
What are the three parts of strategy? Can you go over that?
They are strategic thinking, strategic planning, and strategic execution. Strategic implementation, right? So you have to be able to think outside the box, you have to put your plans in place, and then you've got to hold your team accountable and execute around your plans.
Last question, and then I guess we can start the wrap up here and get all your contact info and all that other good stuff, is how can we successfully navigate the ups and downs of leadership? Because that, to me, I think is so critical right now, being able to navigate that, especially because, like, for example, I'm walking into a situation where our marketing's new, our sales new, like we have templates for doing things. So I'm lucky to where that stuff's kind of built out, but it's still a whole new process. And it's going to be a lot of up and down learning experience, learning from my failures, learning, you know, as we ramp this thing up to become a big giant sales machine. So, I mean, what kind of tips do you have for somebody like me, or people that are out there that are like me that might be going through something similar, especially in these uncertain economic times where layoffs are happening left and right with a lot of companies?
Yeah, I would say preparation, prioritization, and delegation. So preparation, to me, that's one of the key leadership competencies that's often overlooked. Leaders don't realize that you need to be prepared. Have your agenda for your meetings. Set your one-on-ones with your team and don't cancel them, right? Because that's a way to not build trust with your team.
What about moving them? Because for example, we have a weekly sales meeting. On top of the weekly sales meeting, usually I would run it, but in this case, with how this org set up, our CEO actually runs the weekly sales meeting. So that's fine. But we have that. We go through the weekly sales meeting. And then from there, I have the one-on-one with my teams. But they all understand, hey, business takes priority. We do our ones-on-ones Thursday. So even though you're at 1 o'clock, because of shifting business needs, I might need to change your appointment. Maybe you're free at 10 o'clock. So we're going to do it at 10 a.m. or maybe we'll change it to 4 p.m. or whatever. But we had that weekly one-on-one. I do everything I can to try to keep it the same. But 1 out of 4 weeks out of the month, it is probably going to have to change. Is that a problem?
Not at all. As long as you reschedule it. I mean, we all need to be flexible. I would just say make your team a priority. You know, yes, your clients are a priority and your team needs to feel like they're a priority too. That's one of the ways you create a motivating environment for your team is they understand that you care about them, that you're there to develop and grow them. So if you have to reschedule, no problem, but just keep your commitments to your team, right? And of course, we all need to be flexible.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people aren't flexible. It's weird. Whenever I run into somebody that's not flexible, it's like, oh my God, like, where have you been the last 3 years with everything that we've been through with COVID and all that stuff and just breaking us down, you know, emotionally, physically, all that stuff. It's like, you're not flexible. Okay. Whatever. I get it. And I figure out some way to deal with it, but it's always kind of a shock to the system when I meet somebody like that, because it's not normal. I don't think it's normal these days to meet people that aren't somewhat flexible, because I think COVID really kind of broke us in a way.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a recovered control freak. So I can definitely relate.
I love that.
To people who are not flexible. But what I've learned, actually, a really good book which helped me overcome my perfectionism and control freak tendencies is Carol Dweck's book called Mindset, the New Psychology of Success, where she talks about fixed and growth mindset. Anyone who's a control freak or perfectionist needs to read that book, because she really said having a fixed mindset means that you're not flexible and you feel like everything's set in stone. But having a growth mindset means that nothing's set in stone. And so it really builds in more kindness towards yourself, more kindness to other people, and it helps you to be much more flexible. So that book was really a game changer for me.
That's great. Hey, so Vanessa, thank you so much for coming on. I mean, you've taught us so much. We've had some good discussion. I was able to give you some of my real life scenarios. Last final thing I need from you is please tell us, how can people reach out to you? Where can they find you? Where can they find out about your business? Follow you? Basically, give us all the details you want them to have on you.
For sure. Well, my company is called Mosaic People Development. So you can Google that, or you can go to mosaicpd.com. You can also go to yourleadershipresources.com. And I would highly recommend you head over there. You can do a free self-assessment, a leadership self-assessment. You have access to the blogs. I write a leadership blog every Friday that people absolutely love. It's practical, straightforward. And I share tips with you that I share with my clients. So those are a couple of places. And I'm on LinkedIn and I'm on Instagram. So yeah. I'm everywhere. Yeah.
You're everywhere. Anyways, hey, Vanessa, thank you so much for coming on. Please go out, check out Vanessa's business. Everybody knows this by now, but the link will be down below in the description. Vanessa, thank you so much. I'm extremely grateful that you came on. You shared your knowledge. You gave us your time, and you're a true rock star. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Lovely chatting with you.
Yeah. Take care. Cheers. Wow, that was an incredible chat with Vanessa, right? First, you all know the routine. If you found this interview helpful, if it sparked some warm and fuzzies, do me a favor, hit that like button, smash that subscribe button. But if you really want to help us out, because you know SharkBite Biz is the greatest kept secret in the world of small business, please share us out to your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, wherever you dwell on the interwebs. I don't care. I just want to see nothing more than Vanessa and SharkBite Biz out there trending. So anyways, awesome stuff, Vanessa. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing your expertise and telling us how you're helping both people, individuals, managers, directors, executives, and companies find growth through better leadership. Question of the day. Have you ever gotten an executive coach? Leave a comment down below on YouTube. Do you want to be in the show? Interviews at sharkbitebiz.com. Remember, if you're watching on YouTube, $3 a month, you can become a baby shark. Also, shout out to our sponsor, Stellar One Consulting. If you're still using QuickBooks or Excel, let's get you out of there. Let's get people driving revenues instead of filling out Excel sheets. Hit me up directly. I will take care of you. Or go to our website, stellaroneconsulting.com, and check out our SAP and Acumatica solutions for your business. Now, you all know this by now, but I'll say it once again. I'm David Strasser. This is SharkBite Biz. We'll see you all next episode. Cheers.
You've just experienced SharkBite Biz with Dave Strasser. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the show to help us spread the word about personal, professional, and business growth. Want to be on the show? Send an email to interviews@sharkbitebiz.com. Special shout out to our sponsor, an SAP and Acumatica Gold Partner, Stellar One. Get off QuickBooks, automate businesses' processes, and have your business reach the stars. StellarOneConsulting.com, or reach out to the show. Till next episode.